Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Audrey Nowakowski. Last time Andy Mozina was in the Lake Effect studio, it was shortly after his second short story collection came out.
The Brookfield native who teaches English at Michigan's Kalamazoo College worked exclusively in short stories until now. But like some of his shorter fiction, Mozina's new novel, Contrary Motion, takes place between Milwaukee and Chicago.
The sardonic novel tells a story of a dysfunctional, divorced family man who is trying to make a go of playing the harp professionally. Mozina was back in Wisconsin recently for an event at Boswell Book Company, but he joined us first and offered an excerpt from Contrary Motion.
After a good hour and a half, I stopped to shake out my hands. Michael has begun to take ragged breaths. Maybe this is it. I decide to play the entire audition sequence for St. Louis from memory, but very slowly, with spaces between the notes, so Michael's metabolism won't be affected. The room darkens as I play. The nurse comes in to check on him and turns on a lamp behind me. Increasingly, his unresponsiveness helps me realize one of my twisted desires, to do my part in a relationship without having to suffer my partner's scrutiny, as if my partner is an unconscious instrument, a freedom I desire most during sex. I keep expecting someone to show up, his parents, the resigned man I saw leaving his room weeks ago, someone. Maybe people didn't treat him right and vice versa, so this is how it ends. I continue playing with an almost absurd slowness. I finish the whole audition repertoire and start over. My right shoulder starts to throb, then a sharp pain strikes above my shoulder blade just downhill from my neck, forming a knot as hard as a stone. My left arm is getting heavy and twitchy. My bony ass is turning to concrete. In the huge spaces between notes, I can hear Michael's breathing, irregular, with long pauses. I stop and stand and shake up my whole body and jump up and down as quietly as I can. My muscles seem to fill with blood again. Everything loosens and aches. But it's like opening a fist that you've squeezed closed for a long time. You actually have to try to keep it from closing again on its own. So I sit down again, clenched over the harp, and enter a sort of drugged equilibrium in which I accept that this is the only thing I do. It's almost 1 a.m. when the nurse comes in and takes Michael's pulse. Something makes her stay and stand there for a bit. A deep, rattling, gurgling breath rises. "This is it," she says abruptly, almost excited, it seems. I play a fourth octave G. She sits on the bed, exactly where she was when I came in, and watches Michael's face. A C sharp, and Michael breathes. Another note, another, softer breath. A note, and I listen. A note, a note, a note, a note. I stop playing. "Second one tonight," the nurse says. She pats his hand where it lies on the sheet, picks it up, shakes it between her two hands, almost like shaking a dog's paw. Then she sighs and leaves the room. I lean the harp forward and rest my head against the sound box. I stand up, my aching torso stiff. I step awkwardly to Michael's bedside, watching myself try to do what the unscored moment demands. I should touch him somehow, I think, to say goodbye. Marcia once told me that dying people crave touch. I stand over him, staring at his face, hung up, like a child staring down from the lip of the high dive. I lean over and kiss his warm forehead.
And that was author Andy Mozina reading from his latest book, Contrary Motion. Andy, welcome to Lake Effect. Thanks so much for being here.
Well, thanks so much, Audrey.
So to start, what inspired you to write a novel about a dysfunctional, divorced family man who's striving to play the harp professionally?
The origin of the book, my wife's a harpist, so I was kind of familiar with the harp. My mother was a longtime hospice nurse, and one day she sent me a picture from a newspaper that showed a harpist playing a bedside vigil for somebody who was dying. And she thought that was an interesting subject. And I thought it was too. And I thought it was kind of a cool, sort of beautiful, sort of charged thing. And it got my imagination going.
Now, do you think harp players, you know, being so few and competitive in nature, you know, for that one spot in any given orchestra, do they have different characteristics that you wanted to explore? Or did you picture certain things for your character that went well with a harp playing career and being so dedicated and taking so much time and personal effort to strive in this field?
Yeah, so personality traits, you know, high strung, but it's, you know, it's kind of true. Mm-hmm. You have to be super detail oriented, super meticulous. And a mistake, you know, is kind of dramatic, so you have to always be super on point. So that's very stressful. And I thought that would be I sort of think high-stress situations are good drama, so I thought it could be good story.
And last time you were here in the studio was to talk about a short story collection.
Yeah.
So what made you want to write a novel and take that next step? And what kind of challenges did you face?
Yeah, I did definitely want to try a novel. I had written a novel I couldn't publish before my two story collections, so I did want to take on that challenge. And some stories have enough elements that they just need to be longer. So I just generally try to write things, and then this one kind of turned out to be longer. There are a lot of challenges with writing a longer thing, especially when you want to change it. So if I'm working on a story, I can change it in a day and see if it's working. With a novel, if you make a decision to change something, it could be months before you know whether that change panned out or not. So it took me maybe 12 or 13 years to get, you know, this whole book written.
Okay. And did you originally start it as a short story that kept on going? Or
were
you like, you know, this will be a book?
I actually thought of it as a novel from the beginning. I knew that it was going to go toward the audition. I knew there'd be some important relationships. I knew he'd play at the hospice. I knew there'd be family stuff. I knew there'd be stuff with his daughter. So it was about a whole life. And to capture a whole life, you generally need the space of a longer thing.
That's a good point. And you mentioned your wife plays the harp, but
yeah.
What other kind of research did you do for this book? You know, one, to learn the technical aspects of the harp. You know, it's a very big and complicated instrument.
Yeah, so there are some books. Sarah Bullen, the principal harpist at the Chicago Symphony, wrote a book on prepping for auditions where she analyzes excerpts and she takes you through the score. So I just kept listening to that stuff and reading her stuff. I interviewed some harpists and talked to my wife. I went to the harp factory, which was very cool.
Oh.
Saw how they build the harps. It's a lot of just woodworking and gluing and sawing.
Yeah.
So,
did you ever sit down and put a harp against your shoulder give it a go?
Yeah. I've played some notes on it, but the nice thing about a harp, unlike a violin, say, is that you can just pluck a string and it sounds cool.
Right.
And you don't need any talent to do that.
And you also mentioned you had another connection of the main aspect in the book is the character perhaps reluctantly starting to play at a hospice care.
Yeah.
And that your mom was a hospice worker. And had you heard of music therapy in hospice care before your mom showed you this article?
No.
Or did it span a whole new world?
Yeah, it opened up that whole world to me. And I've learned in the years since that field is getting more sophisticated. There, you can get a degree in music thanatology. And Jennifer Hollis wrote a wonderful book about that. She's a harpist who practices that. And it's a kind of a cool way. I mean, death is a tough subject, but it's kind of a cool way to approach it, sort of creating a sense of ritual. And music is so powerful, and it has a lot of effects on the body. It's sort of like a morphine drip. You know, it's got that soothing quality. It's a pain reliever, and it makes people feel better. So it's kind of cool.
And did you yourself have a different aspect on how to deal with death with your mom being a hospice worker? Were there certain things that she wanted to teach you, to show you, to view it in a certain way? Because for a lot of us, it's a reluctant topic that we get immersed into if something happens in our own lives.
You know, my mom is so caring and so practical. She would not try to say, oh, this is what you should be thinking about this. When I heard her talk about her work, you know, it was this patient, and this is, I talked to this person today, and I learned this, and this is what's going on with this patient. So she just does her work, and she enjoys being with the people. And so that was kind of indirectly informative, but she didn't really go into technical aspects. I did hospice volunteer myself to get sort of what that is like in person.
Do you think it's a topic that should be more talked about, or just that people should have a better understanding of what hospice care is and what the people in hospice care and what the workers are going through?
Yeah, I think it's a good topic, and people should know about it as an option. In this book, it's a residential hospice, which maybe feels a little bit like a nursing home, but hospice people also will come into your house so you can die at home, and that's really important to people. So yeah, anything that makes that transition more humane, brings families together, makes the person passing feel cared for, you know, I think it's all cool.
And how did you want to portray the Midwest in this book? You yourself are from Michigan, and in the book you bounce between Milwaukee and Chicago, and in a way, Milwaukee is kind of the backdrop for your character's past, you know, kind of the more traditional family sense, and Chicago is the place where he's trying to build another life. So was that intentional?
It was, kind of. I mean, some of that is, so there's stuff about the Midwest. I love the Midwest, and the Midwest has an interesting relationship to ambition. There's sort of this, oh, you got to leave the Midwest if you're going to be ambitious. As it turns out, in the world of harp, Chicago is a big center of music, you know, with the Chicago Symphony and the Lyric Opera. So that is sort of like, it's not quite the Big Apple, but it's a big destination for him. And they happen to make harps in Chicago. There's two major harp factories there. So those are some of the things that shaped it around Chicago. And yeah, it's a fun city to set something in.
And another aspect of your main character, Matt Grisbick's life, is his divorce and relationship with his ex-wife. And they have a daughter together, so obviously they're always in each other's fears. And was this making a point, or rather a reflection, of today's society with increased parents perhaps getting separated, but yet still very much intertwined in people's lives because they have children together?
Yeah, and it's such a challenge, and divorce is super hard. It's hard on the kids. It's hard on the parents. The way that intersected with the harp stuff is, you know, with these super competitive fields, you just feel like you have to give it everything, but you want to be a good parent, and he still loves his ex-wife, so it gets complicated for him.
Right. And another kind of wrench in the wheel, I suppose, is some of the mental health issues you address. For example, his father and the death and the circumstances of that, and also his daughter perhaps not quite understanding what she was doing in taking so many pills at one time. What kind of things did you want to portray with mental health in this way? One, from a perspective of a closed-off father, and then from the perspective of a little girl who perhaps isn't really understanding what's happening.
Yeah, I think, well, a couple things. I think to some extent, personality, disposition, things like anxiety and depression, there is a, I think there's a hereditary element of that. So there's a sense of legacy. And then we all look at the generation in front of us and we're saying, oh, wow, look what they had to deal with. Will I have to deal with that? And you worry about your influence on your kids, too. So there's that hereditary, that legacy stuff, which ties into being a good parent. And then there's just the fact that people are carrying things. You know, everybody out there is, you know, it's life is great and it's difficult. And people are always struggling in some way. And I wanted to not clinicize the people who are going through those struggles, but just sort of say this is what's going on out there.
I suppose the story surrounding your character is kind of a coming of age, you know, for modern adults. Not necessarily the teenage coming of age story,
it's an adult coming of age story. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, you know, displace it to the 30 to 40 range coming of age. And, you know, as you mentioned, the complicated family dynamics and anxieties that surround your character. How did you want the narration to reflect this and enhance the more stressful events that surrounded him as you went?
You know, that was one of the hardest things about writing the book, was conveying it for real and not doing it in a way that would alienate the reader or make the reader feel like, oh my gosh, this guy is a sad sack or whatever. So I gave him a sense of humor, and that is sort of, those two things are pulling on each other throughout the story.
And was there anything you wrote, you know, over the course of years that you were working on this book that eventually, looking back, like, oh, I wish I could have kept this aspect or this section?
There really wasn't. And part of it was, as I was working on it and I realized it wasn't all the way yet, I realized I needed more stuff. So my revision process was mostly adding stuff. So that was kind of interesting. I did cut a little bit of stuff out, but really not a lot. I just wrote stuff and revised it and then added stuff and just cut a little bit. So, which is a little weird for me.
Yeah, was it preferable to your short story experience?
You know, I think I always write sort of efficiently in that way, and I don't know why. Maybe I don't have the courage to just make, oh, I'll throw out those 100 pages. I hear writers say that all the time. Oh, yeah, I wrote the first 200 pages were not that good, but then I got to this point, and I just threw those out, and I'm like, oh, my God, I don't know if I can do that.
Right. Well, perhaps you'll have more stuff for us in the future. And if you do, I hope you come back and visit with it.
Well, it's been great to talk to you. I really appreciate how well you understand what's going on in the book. That's very cool. Thank you.
Well, I enjoyed the book, and thanks so much for coming in, and best of luck with its release.
Thank you.
Brookfield native Andy Mozina's new novel is called Contrary Motion. Mozina teaches English at Kalamazoo College in Michigan. He was recently in Milwaukee for an event at Boswell Book Company.